It's Wednesday, May 26, 2021. I'm Cameron Weir, and welcome to TMI Daily, your daily roundup of everything people are talking about online, since they aren't allowed to talk about it in person. Yesterday, it was announced that New York City District Attorney Cy Vance has convened a grand jury to decide if the actions of Donald Trump and his family are worthy of an indictment charge. Unfortunately for the former president, that grand jury will not be made up of his peers, since all of the real assholes moved out of New York City at the beginning of the pandemic. Speaking of Trump, which God, stop doing by now, everyone's favorite confirmed bachelor, Lindsey Graham, said on Sean Hannity's show last night that Trump would have some damage to repair if he runs again in 2024, which is obviously true considering what his followers will do to the Capitol when he loses again. Marjorie Taylor Greene retweeted and then deleted a Twitter comment that called Republican leader Kevin McCarthy a feckless cunt and a moron. It's too bad she deleted it, since this would have been the first tweet she ever put out that was true. Amazon is purchasing MGM Studios for nearly $8.5 billion. The deal is expected to quickly go through, since it turns out MGM has Amazon Prime. Brad Pitt won equal custody of the children he shares with Angelina Jolie. Wow, you get to co-parent with Angelina Jolie and you call it a win? That's pretty optimistic. Kim Kardashian's hopes to become a lawyer have hit a setback, as it was announced that she failed the first-year law school baby bar exam. Unlike with her actual babies, Kim couldn't hire a surrogate to do the work for her. X-Files star David Duchovny is listing his luxury Central Park West apartment for $7.5 million. With three bedrooms, three bathrooms, and panoramic Central Park views, you'll be saying, I want to be living there. Man, I hope X-Files fans watch our show where no one's gonna get that. Researchers at MyHeritage.com say that Friends stars Courtney Cox and Matthew Perry, who played married couple Monica and Chandler, are actually distant cousins. I guess the show really didn't take place in New York, as this story clearly proves it must have been Alabama. Marilyn Manson is wanted for assault in New Hampshire. This is actually good news for the singer, since no one has wanted him for anything else in the last decade or so. Today, McDonald's and K-pop superstars BTS launched the McDonald's BTS meal, which makes sense since, much like BTS's song lyrics, no one has a clue what's in McDonald's food. Now, let's send it over to tonight's TMI Daily Cast and Crew Roundtable. Stay safe.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of TMI Daily. I'm Veronica Aiello, and as always, I'm joined by some of my TMI Daily crew. And I just found out that we lost Eric Carle. So did you guys know that?
Very hungry caterpillar.
Very, very hungry caterpillar, an amazing, you know, children's author. And I think he was like 91.
Yeah, 91.
I literally just read it like 2 minutes before we went on air. So, yeah, his books were very influential in a lot of my students' lives, and so it's really sad. Okay, so let's go around and say hello to everyone watching at home or listening to our TMI Daily podcast. Let's start with you, Pete.
It's Wednesday, and that means only one thing. It's Wednesday.
The middle of the week.
Yeah.
Woo! Joe.
Hi, everyone listening on Google Podcasts, and a very happy National Blueberry Cheesecake Day. I think everyone should go out and have some blueberry cheesecake.
That sounds good. Elizabeth.
Yay, it's happy Wednesday. Hump day. It's hump day, everybody. Yeah.
We're humping.
Hump day. Hump it up.
Danny.
Hello, everybody, and to our listeners on Spotify, Joe. LA Sandwich Week continues, and today I got to give a shout out to Mateo's off of Crenshaw and Pico. They have a bunch of different deli meats. It's really an ice cream shop, but they do have really great sandwiches, and it's almost a mixture of a Mexican torta and a panini. It is really good. They make them made to order, and when you get the sandwich combo, you get a real fruit cocktail, not the one from a can. It's real fruit, and you pick whatever fruit you want, and you get a medium-sized juice with it, natural. So I got to go with the cantaloupe. Agua de melon. Delicious.
Wow, that sounds really great. Oh, yeah, as a sandwich today, Roma Market over in Pasadena is a little Italian market that's absolutely fabulous, and they have a sandwich there called The Sandwich. It's made by a tiny little Italian man, and it's really fabulous. So that's another sandwich that you can try today.
That's great. Well, hopefully, you know, some of our local listeners will go check them out. And we're always about supporting small businesses as well, too, and local
businesses. We truly are.
And say hi to your favorite redhead, National Redhead Day.
Oh, hi, Mom.
My mom's my favorite redhead.
International Redhead Day.
I didn't have red hair, but I did get red tips one time. It was the 90s. What can I say?
Like Joey Fatone?
Yeah.
Oh, I see we lost Pete, too.
I'm back.
All right. He's
shocked.
Well, later on in the show, we're also going to be joined by Ryan Walker. He's the host of the Walk the Line podcast. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Okay, well, let's start tonight's show. Sure, it's always good to discuss real-world news and give our opinions, but it's also a lot more fun to discuss stories we have absolutely no way of verifying that they're true. For that reason, it's time for This Week in Gossip, in which we've gone through all of the major gossip websites and pulled some of the biggest stories of the week, none of which we verify to be true. I'll tell you the story, and you can either tell us what you know about the story or just comment on it. Okay, so the first story has to do with Ben Affleck. So according to gossip sites, Ben Affleck had a professional writer friend pen the love notes he sent to Jennifer Lopez while he was trying to get her back. Elizabeth.
Didn't he win an Oscar for writing?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. Oh my God, that's funny. Oh man, I don't think it's true, but God, that's fucking funny because, like.
I don't want it to be true, though. I mean, isn't this
like in a romantic movie?
Is she just like, is this the script to Argo? What the fuck are you doing?
Like, this sounds like something you want to say, oh my God, I'm so happy this is actually a true story.
Oh my God.
In all fairness, it wasn't a romantic movie he won an Oscar for.
Right. He's a creative
but I
guy.
See your point. I do see your point.
Joe.
This is very Cyrano de Bergerac. Maybe J-Lo is actually in love with the guy who wrote the notes. Because that's where it came from.
Instead of Ben Affleck.
Maybe that guy who wrote the notes is not. Well, he probably is not as attractive as Ben Affleck, let's face it. But, you know, when it comes down to it, maybe that's the actual guy she's in love with and not.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Now, aren't there also rumors that Matt Damon's going through a divorce?
They keep popping. Those have always popped up. But I think he's still pretty rock solid with his lady.
It all depends. Did Jimmy Kimmel start the rumor?
That would be just weird if it was Matt Damon writing the notes.
Right?
So that would just...
I've always fucking loved you, Jennifer.
What? I got wicked love for you.
I got wicked love for you.
J-Lo's going to do a part two of She F'd Matt Damon. Yeah.
So the next story says that Jojo Rabbit director and actor Taika Waititi is reportedly in a thruple with his girlfriend, singer Rita Ora, and actress Tessa Thompson, after the three have been seen making out publicly. So, thoughts on this? Today I'm like dry. I have nothing. Go ahead, Elizabeth. Let's start with you.
Sure. He's been divorced for quite some time, I guess. I also, in a weird way, I feel like I might have. Part of me is like, is this a prank on the paparazzi in some way?
Mm-hmm.
But maybe not.
You think like a prank or publicity stunt?
Yeah, because they're filming Thor: Love and Thunder right now,
uh-huh.
And Tessa Thompson's in it. I'm not sure if Rita Ora's in it. And
I don't know why she would be.
I don't know why she would be.
Yeah.
And I think part of what's wigging people out about it too is like Rita Ora's kind of like a mediocre singer. Like she doesn't feel like she's on Taika's level, is what I'm saying. There, I said it. And so I think people are like, what are they all doing together?
It's so funny that because right before we went on, we were talking about this time that we went to the green room at the Jimmy Kimmel show, and Rita Ora was one of the guests, and she had about 71 people with her in her entourage. And clearly she decided that she was going to have representation from every ethnicity and every sexual gender, every orientation you could think of was there. So, you know, the whole idea of being in a thruple doesn't seem to, like, like surprise me when it comes to her, because she clearly just, she's kind of into anything, it seems like.
Is yeah, like it, I'm not, I didn't reckon, I didn't know who she was, remember? I was yeah. like, I don't even know who she is.
That was kind of lucky for that.
Mm. Yeah, at the same time though, I'm like, eh, you know, do what you want. It doesn't matter.
Joe.
Right, that's kind of what I wanted to say is, hey, what's kind of the big deal? I mean, if that's her thing, then that's her thing. And also, you know, way to go, Taika Waititi on that one, you know? Wow, I mean, that's pretty, like I want to ask some of the male listeners out there, or female, if that's your thing, like, if Tessa Thompson and Rita Ora started making out in front of you and asked you to join in, would you say no? Yeah, that's a big question. So there you go.
It seems like a lot of effort. The whole like, it just seems like too much aggravation, because not only idea is the sexual element of it, but it's the couple element too. And it's like, you know, I'm barely able to make sure my wife is happy with who I am. I don't really think I want to like have other couple people involved.
Plus, so I think I should never suggest a throuple then, Pete?
I just don't think the throuple's in our
future. Yeah, it would be too much work. I think so too.
It's just, it's too much effort. Yeah. Like, because you got to ask each person, what do you mind me walking around the house in my underpants all day? Like Veronica's cool with it, which is great. Now, what if my other throuple?
So wait a minute. You, Veronica, and Ian weren't a throuple?
No. Is this why Ian left?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if you're going to be in a throuple with anybody, Ian's probably the perfect one, because
there you go.
He kind of doesn't bother you very much. He just kind of
stays. He is great.
Comes up for dinner and then the movies or whatever we're watching. He's a good throupler.
He really is. Yeah, he would definitely be like one of the best throuple people that we know, for sure. Very low maintenance, you know.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Okay, so Kris Jenner is hoping that her family can buy up a significant amount of land in Calabasas so they can create a town for her and her family.
Don't they already own Calabasas? Like,
pretty much. Oh, yeah.
See, when
Calabasas is not that big as it is.
Yeah.
Next story.
What I found out from the story was that she and Chloe have already bought houses next to each other.
Yeah, that's confirmed.
And now they're trying to like talk the rest of the family into doing the same, so that they can basically take up most of this area. They want to. She apparently equated this to wanting to be like the Kennedys.
The only difference is,
Jackie Onassis Kennedy never blew Brandy's brother on video. But that's a whole other.
But they do have two car accident deaths. A car accident death in each.
So they want to make Kardashian-bashes?
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much, yeah.
Who would be the mayor? I mean, like,
that's the mayor of Kardashian-bashes.
Just make Caitlyn the mayor. She wants the political thing.
No, they don't want anything to do with her.
I don't think they want her to be the mayor at all.
Nah, it's good enough.
Obviously, it's going to be Justin Bieber.
That's probably true.
So the next story says that Brian Randall, Sandra Bullock's longtime boyfriend, has banned her from seeing Keanu Reeves due to the extreme amount of chemistry the two have together. See, I don't buy this, because I was telling Pete about the story earlier that Keanu Reeves just seems like the nicest guy in the world, that I'm like, I could see like him wanting to be like cool with him. Like, oh, you know, he's just such a nice guy. Remember, Pete, I told you, like let's just say like Keanu Reeves was my ex-boyfriend. I think Pete would be like, oh, he's cool. Like,
yeah, no, I don't think so. If Keanu Reeves was your ex-boyfriend, I probably wouldn't have dated you. That's just too much. I mean, you're the Matrix. I mean, what am I going to – I'm not competing with that.
Elizabeth.
Did you guys see that Always Be My Maybe movie where he was her boyfriend?
Yeah,
I didn't love that movie, but I did love all that stuff. That was really funny. I liked
cute movie.
How he played such an exaggerated version of himself. Because, yeah, as far as everybody has said or ever known, is like he is a legitimately like chill, nice guy, like friendly, you know, non-aggressive, nothing weird. But I mean, I guess that would be intimidating if it was like, oh my god, he is so much better than me. God damn it! Like.
It's really funny, the thought of somebody arguing with somebody else going, you are not to see Keanu Reeves.
Yeah.
How's that happen?
Joe.
Okay, so how long has this guy been Sandra Bullock's boyfriend?
Couple of years.
Just a couple of years?
Yeah.
Or, like, because it's a long time, so that's why.
No, it's hard. I mean, she's got those kids and everything.
Well, my whole thing is that you're not gonna make it dating someone in Hollywood doing that, because everybody that person knows is extremely attractive for the most part. So, I mean, if that's the kind of thing that this isn't going to work, if that's the kind of thing that's going to happen, you're just going to have to roll with it. Because what's going to happen? You're going to say, oh, you can't see Keanu Reeves. Okay, I'm just going to go down to Brad Pitt's house.
Or George Clooney.
That's what I'm going to say. Or, George Clooney's in town. We're going to grab lunch. I mean, at what point does it stop? Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I'm kind of not buying it. Because if he's already been, you know, they've been in a relationship for at least a few years, maybe more. Mm-hmm. This is coming around, so I'm not buying it. And especially of all people, Keanu Reeves, who seems to be an extremely loyal guy when he gets into a relationship.
Yeah, and he has a girlfriend now.
He's had her
for at least a couple years himself, actually.
Right,
the one that looks like an older woman, but she's not. So
no, she just has
she just has gray hair.
Her hair got gray early.
That would be.
I didn't say anything. I just pointed out that's
be so catty.
Yeah, everyone did think it was like, oh my god, he's a way older lady, and it just turned out like they're pretty close in age. She just happens to have gray hair.
Okay, so the next story, according to gossip sites, Prince Charles is so furious at Meghan Markle that as revenge, he has sworn to never give her children royal titles, has removed Harry from his $100 million will, and threatened to fire any palace staff that mentions Meghan's name. I was telling Pete before the show, too. I'm like, I am so sick and tired of, like, Meghan and Harry now. Like, I'm over it now. I mean, they are everywhere. And I'm like, okay, I'm getting kind of tired of the two of them. But what do you guys think about this story? I mean, I think it might be true. I don't know.
I think it's partially true in some ways. Maybe not the, like, she's not Voldemort. Do not speak that name in this castle. Like, it's a little over the top. But, Archie already doesn't have a title, and I think the titles currently come from the Queen anyway. They don't come from Charles, because Queenie's still around. Mm-hmm. So there's not much he can do there. Maybe he got kicked out of the will, but they've made it clear that they have money through Diana and her trust, and then they've made all these Netflix and Oprah deals, so they will not be like the destitute royals looking for.
Because I was worried about that.
Pre-World War I, like, we have to find American money to fix these broken titles, like in Downton Abbey.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Joe.
Well, okay. First of all, let's not say we're sick of Meghan, because this is obviously the royal. This is Charles having a shit fit. If it's true. Yeah.
It's the royal spin machine.
I don't necessarily want to buy it. I think a lot of it is just the British tabloids need something to talk about, so they bring up stuff like this. I mean, no one really knows, and I'll be honest with you, if this did happen, I think it's kind of shitty, but I really don't think. I think it's just a lot more of a British tabloid talk than anything else. No one's going to know, of course, until, you know, Charles kicks it, so, hey.
No. Okay, so speaking of princes, Rami Malek is reportedly in negotiations to play Prince in an upcoming biopic. What do you guys think of this?
Go for it.
Me too. I think he's a great actor, and I know makeup can be an incredible, you know, they could do an incredible makeup job on him too, and I think he's amazing, so I think he'd be great.
Yeah. And Prince was super slim, so is Rami Malek.
Tiny.
Yeah, I say go for it.
But there is the issue that Rami is not a black guy. He's Egyptian, I believe.
Oh yeah, that's
like
never happened.
Yeah, he's.
Oh, I forgot. You know what? I actually forgot about. I didn't even think about.
Yeah, that. He's not a. You know, he was closer in ethnicity to Freddie Mercury, who he obviously played. But yeah, that's a bit of a awkward part there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yep. I mean, even if there wasn't already such hypersensitivity about making sure that you get people that are exactly the same as the people that they're portraying, I don't know. It's just I think he's a great actor, but I just don't see it. I mean,
I don't see it, and I think it's significant. It's not insignificant that Prince was a black artist, though.
No, I agree. It isn't insignificant, but at the same time, I can't imagine like if you're going to go to all of anybody you could possibly go to, why would you go to Rami Malek to do that? I mean, like, it just seems so weird, like. You know, yeah. And I think that the story basically is just because of how good he was in Bohemian Rhapsody. Because, you know, I mean, like, there's just so many other people you could potentially go to instead of him to play a part like that. And so, I mean, to me, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Mm-hmm. Joe?
Now, he's Egyptian, so you could make the argument. You could make the argument. He's African American, but I think it's kind of a stretch. And the question is, if you start putting makeup on him to make him look more like Prince, at what point is it considered blackface?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I think, are some important things that have to kind of, like, you know, no one would. I mean, everyone would go bananas if they got somebody who was white to play Prince.
Yeah.
But we're getting somebody who's not necessarily black to play, but is not white, is another ethnicity, and somehow that's okay. And I really don't see that. I think that there will be blowback in some way, especially since there's so many good, talented black actors out there that could pull it off. So, it's a neat idea, but I think you're wading into some really, really questionable waters by doing this, especially if you have to put him in the makeup to make him look more like Prince.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's my biggest issue with it. Don't get me wrong. I think Rami Malek is a fantastic actor. I love watching stuff that he's in. I just don't think that it's going to be right for this part for many different reasons.
You know, before I go to you, Elizabeth, I want to address what Joe just said. And you know what, Joe, now that you said it out loud, in my mind, I was honestly thinking of, like, when I think of, like, a makeup job, I think of, like, for example, like Gillian Anderson, you know, on The Crown. They did such a great, I mean, they made her look just like Mal Albright. Also, what's Megyn Kelly from Fox News?
Charlize Theron. Yeah.
I mean, I could have sworn that was really, you know, Megyn Kelly. And in my mind, I was thinking of the makeup in that sense. And I was just thinking of Rami Malek as the actor. But it didn't even cross my mind, like what you just pointed out. And that's just, you know, I just wonder, like, you know, for someone like myself, I didn't even think about that. And I wonder how a lot of other people feel the same way, too. Or they just really don't see it. But now that you brought it up, I can't see that it is problematic. So yeah, it's crazy. Like, you don't, because again, I don't think in terms of color. You know, I just think speaking in terms of acting ability,
which is great. But the world doesn't see it that way.
Yeah, but until somebody pointed it out, like you know what you just said, it just kind of clicked with me. So I just wanted to point. I just wanted to make that point. So yeah. Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Yeah, well, there was quite a controversy with Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone in a movie that I think it just sort of got shuffled under the rug. It wasn't really heavily released, but she wore darker makeup, and that brought to look more like Nina Simone and like a different nose and all this stuff. And that brought up all sorts of like issues of colorism too within like the black community. Because light-skinned actors tend to get favored over darker-skinned actors when it comes to black actors a lot. And so there's, like, that issue, too, is, like, Prince was not, like, a super dark-skinned actor. Or am I thinking of... I'm thinking of him in, like, maybe more stagey makeup. I don't know. But...
Just real quick, was that Nina Simone movie a biopic?
Yeah.
Ooh, I got it. I mean, I'm a big.
I think it wasn't very good. I think.
Well,
it was
I mean,
like,
even if it wasn't very good, I want to at least check it out. I'm gonna check that out.
I think it's very hard to find, though, like I said, because I think I got kind of.
I'm gonna look at it right now while we're talking.
Away, but yeah, like Zendaya has talked about, like she knows she's getting offered more opportunities in many ways because she's a lighter skinned black actress than say maybe like a Viola Davis or something like that, and so it's a big, you know, issue, and so. Definitely the idea that, like, oh, this vaguely ethnic guy could maybe just play a black guy is, as we've said, not a great idea.
Oh, it's got 2% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
An amazing cast. It's got Zoe Saldana and David Oyelowo and Mike Epps, and man, David, who screwed that up?
Yeah.
And I just know the whole 2% thing. Like, anything under like 10%, what just go to zero? Like, what is
no, it? That means that one critic liked it.
Yeah.
One critic.
And it was probably off. Armand White.
Like, you just, I'm sorry, but like at some point, it's just got to be really bad. Just let it go. Like, let's go for the full zero on this.
But you know what got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes? In the Heights.
Mm. Oh, did it?
Yeah.
Well, it has to because next year it has to win every Oscar.
Oh, my God. I guess, really fast, I've seen on TikTok, there's someone has recorded a high school production of In the Heights with an all-white cast, and it is so bad, you guys. Ooh. Oh, the Spanish is just getting butchered. Everybody's really awkward.
How long did I cancel them?
No, it's from New Jersey. It's called In the Hasbrook Heights.
I don't know. I'd have to look up like the origin of like why this was put on and like what, you know, who recorded it and why.
Oh my God, but, can you send me a link to it, Elizabeth?
Yeah, because like
I kind of want to see that too.
They played like, I don't know all the songs from the show or anything, but there's one where it was like, oh, my abuelita's I obviously am not very good at it. I haven't learned Spanish by any means, but like, oh my God, it's oh my God, it's so bad, you guys. This is the funniest
in the whites.
It really is. It's in the whites.
I've seen Chicago Cell Block Tango, but with the Disney princesses.
Oh, see, like that's clever.
That's funny.
Is just like uncomfortable. Like they're singing the $96,000, that big song,
mm-hmm.
and
it's funny because like I saw In the Heights with Lin-Manuel and I loved it, but the music I'm not crazy about, to be honest, but it's very Lin-Manuel-ish,
right?
So like I love Hamilton's music, but the In the Heights music is, in my opinion, it's not that great. Like I'm not like, oh, I'm gonna be playing the soundtrack or I played it.
Yeah.
$96,000 is half of what my dad made.
The songs are like, in my opinion.
Have you guys ever seen those white kids that did all of Hamilton? Like they filmed the whole thing. And it's actually done really well, but it's really weird because it's mostly all white people in it. It's like it's on YouTube, and again, it clearly looks like they spent money because it's choreographed. The shots all look very well done. I mean, like there's moving cameras and everything else, mm-hmm. you know. And so it was clearly like a production that somebody worked on. But it's just like because white people playing the parts, it just kind of feels weird. Like I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on to our next story. So, Bachelor star Colton Underwood supposedly said that he was forced to come out as gay after someone who allegedly snapped nude photos of him at a gay spa threatened to leak them. Mm. See, if this is true, I think it's messed up. I mean, you cannot force somebody to come out until they're ready to come out. This actually happened to, I know I've mentioned this on the show before, but one of my best friends growing up, he was a child actor, and he actually, somebody took pictures of him later on in life when he was older, of him kissing a boyfriend and he hadn't come out yet. And they sold it to the tabloids. Mm-hmm. And it basically like really messed him up for a long time because he had to come out and he wasn't ready to come out in public yet. And I just think it's really a shitty thing to do if this really is, because I saw how it affected him. Elizabeth.
Yeah, for all of Colton's faults, and there are, so he's not like, you know, he's maybe stalked the bachelorette, the girl on the show and everything like that. Maybe from misguided, you know, feelings or whatever, but it's a huge violation to be photographed, you know, at a spot. No one deserves that. And like you said, no one deserves to be forced to be outed or come out before they're ready. Mm-hmm. And because it's just unfair. It's not, you know, if it's something that someone's struggling with, you just kind of have to respect that struggle until they're in a place where they're comfortable with it. And it's just so creepy. Just the thought of anyone photographing anyone at a spa is so creepy and weird. That's like, if people get nude there, it is a public-ish space, but it is meant to be private, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure it's, like, also a violation of a law.
Yeah, it's also, I think, illegal. So
illegal, yeah. Pete?
Let me ask this question, though. I mean, the guy was on The Bachelor, mm-hmm. And he was, for all intents and purposes, claiming to be heterosexual.
And a virgin. He claimed to be a virgin.
Yeah, okay,
as well.
So he's on The Bachelor. He's claiming to be heterosexual. Somebody catches him in a gay spot, takes a picture, and basically uses that as leverage because I think, that the, you know, from the way the story read, they were going to sell the picture now. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm not saying it's right, but I totally understand why somebody would do it. I mean, because his intent was never to actually be, you know, a gay man on television. And he, you know, he got outed, which probably, you know, from a career standpoint, actually was the greatest thing that could have happened for him. Because
if he's got a whole Netflix show now.
Yeah, he would have just been another guy on
The Bachelor.
So, I mean, to me, it just seems like, you know, you deceived people. You made you put yourself in this position, and then you're not happy that you kind of got caught out there.
So he also monetized off of, you know, being a straight man, right, on The Bachelor. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if – I don't think you went on Bachelor in Paradise, which is, like, the next logical thing for after you, like, fail to get the rose or whatever, and he broke up with the girl. But yeah, it's he's monetizing his position in some way as like a straight white guy. And he was very focused on the I'm a virgin bachelor. I'm very Christian. I have all these strong Christian values. And, you know, everyone said his season was very weird, part because of that stuff and because of how he treated the girl who he did give the final rose to and was quote unquote engaged to. And again, allegedly stalked her and stuff. And again, I don't know why he would go that far if he wasn't really truly attracted to her. But again, maybe that was like a messed up part of the brain trying to justify, like, I need to be with a girl because I have these weird Christian values that said being gay is bad, but it's how I feel. And I don't understand. Like, yeah. I don't know. That's a lot to assume too about somebody. I probably shouldn't be doing that. And anyway, but you know, here we are.
Yeah, and I just think, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, like I said, I saw what it did to someone when this happened to him. And, you know, for someone to just out somebody like that when they are not ready to come out, I just think is wrong on so many levels. Mm-hmm. So, all right, well, let's bring on our guest. I believe he is ready to come on. Okay, here we go. So over the last 15 months of doing TMI Daily, one of the best parts of doing the show is our ability to meet and get to know people from all walks of life, which gives us something in common with our guest tonight, Ryan Walker, who hosts a podcast called Walk the Line, in which he interviews friends and guests that include entrepreneurs, actors, musicians, authors, artists, and beyond. Please welcome Ryan to TMI Daily. Hi, Ryan. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
We're doing well. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on. First of all, I want to talk to you about your podcast, Walk the Line. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, of course. It's an interview show, really, to be fair. It's literally just, I love hearing people's stories. A bit nosy. I just like talking to people. And a lot of people have got stories to tell, and I just love hearing them. So it's literally just getting people from all walks of life to come on, chat about things and have a general conversation, just like having a few drinks with your mates down the pub, down the bar somewhere, and just chilling out, relaxing, and hopefully people might be entertained and hopefully they might learn something as well at the same time. So it's a bit chilled out. So it's really good. I enjoy it.
That's wonderful. So is there any specific meaning behind the name of the podcast? At first I thought it was a Johnny Cash, you know, reference to the, you know, to a song. And I said, oh, it's a Johnny Cash podcast, but it's not.
I know a lot of people have been saying that. There's not really a specific name. The Walk the Line, I did kind of pinch it from Johnny Cash. Hopefully he's okay with it now. Like, doesn't really care about it, but it's sort of like the Walk the Line. You're walking the line between like different, like good and bad and all that sort of stuff, but it's just literally walking the line between different aspects of life, really, to be fair. It's a good somber to what the show is all about, you know. It's from, like, people walk the line of life every day, you know, and it's a good way of kind of kind of describing it, really, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. So what are some of the qualities that you tend to look for in your guest? Like, what makes a good guest for you to interview them?
Probably as long if they're not mental, that's always a good start. I've had a few mental people. Actually, when I first started doing it, I initially just Zoom meeting just like this, jumped on a Zoom and just recorded it straight away. But then I had to realize I had to do like a pre-interview beforehand because people are pretty unreliable and a bit kind of crazy when you put them on and you don't know what they're talking about. So if they've got anything that's really a story, if you've got something you want to talk about or you've got something you really want to kind of get off your chest, you want to discuss, that's really about it, really, to be fair. I seem a bit like kind of a bit easy. I'm a podcast, easy podcast host, but I'm not. It's literally just if you've got a story to tell and you want to get it out there, jump on, have a conversation. If you want a bit of a debating about it, I'm always up for a chatting about something. If someone's got a subject they want to talk about, it's a bit controversial, more than happy to talk about that, as long as they're willing to have someone who's going to debate with them and give them some stuff back at them they're not expecting. But yeah, pretty that sort of thing, you know. I've had lots of people from comedians to stand-up comics, stuff you guys do, singers, songwriters, minor celebrities. I've not cracked into the A-listers yet. I think Ryan Reynolds is getting cracked down. Can I tweet him every day for the past 2 years? So eventually,
wearing him down
slowly but surely. He is literally going to be sick of it. He's not blocked me yet, so that's obviously a good thing, you know. And if he's not going to do it, Brad Pitt's next on the hit list as well. So there we go.
There you go. Keep trying, perseverance.
That's it. It's all about. I watched this video. He goes, "You need to keep doing the little small things each day, every day, to succeed in your goals." All right, I'll do that then. Unfortunately, I'm just harassing people instead.
Oh, nothing wrong with that. So I see that many of your guests are based in the UK, although you're here in the United States, correct?
Oh, no, completely opposite there, completely opposite. All my guests are actually in the US. For some reason, the people in the UK hate me. Don't know why. I think it's a Scottish thing. But the majority of my guests are actually in the US. I'm based in London, a little small a county just outside London in Essex. I don't know if you guys know about Essex and all the Essex is like the kind of Jersey Shore of the UK.
Sure.
every time I say that to someone in the States, they go, yep, know what you're talking about now. Yep. So I don't know why a lot of my guests have been in the US and a lot of my listeners in the US as well. It's probably, I would say, about 60 to 70% of my listeners and guests are from the US, which is, I'm not bothered about it. It's I think the US has actually got more reach with podcasting. You guys over there accept podcasting and embrace it more than we do in the UK. We're not just at your level yet, unfortunately.
You sound a lot more educated here to us with your accent. Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you, you're my new best friend. That's the best compliment I've had ever. Coming from Scotland, you're like, you sound really educated. Really? Are you sure?
Well, to Americans, you do.
Oh, that accent. Right. He's so brainy.
I'm coming to you. I'm moving to the US. Don't care what you say now.
Well, let me open it up to the panel. Does anybody have any questions for Ryan that you'd like to ask? Go ahead, Joe.
Well, first of all, thank you for coming on. This is a real treat. I got to ask, since most of your guests are from the U.S. and all that, how are you like your hours must be really strange. Are you a vampire by any chance? I mean, how does that work?
the time difference is quite crazy, but I work around it and I've basically adapted an unhealthy habit to Red Bull, coffee and lager and beer. So it's
nice.
So it's all right. We do kind of work around it, you know. I mean, I work for myself, so I run my own business, so I've got a pretty flexible calendar. So there's a few nights that I'm staying up till. I mean, right now it's 2:30 in the morning, and but tomorrow I've got a day off because I've got a new TV coming, so I'm okay with that.
No, you're Scottish anyway. You can have that caffeinated iron brew.
that stuff is lethal, honestly. Yep. That is lethal stuff. That. I love iron brew. I actually said to my girlfriend, you get the iron brew down in England, but it's not the stuff you get in Scotland. And my girlfriend got it from me from Amazon, and I've literally got a 24 case of it sitting in my kitchen, which I am now slowly but surely plowing through.
Ryan, I actually had one more question for you, and then I'll go to you, Elizabeth.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to hear about something that you discussed on one of your shows. You apparently won a beauty contest dressed up as a woman. Can we talk about that for a minute?
Of course we can. Yes, I did. It was a charity event, and I did a whole podcast episode in this as well. So it was really funny. Yeah, it was basically a charity event. We all dressed up as women. It was a bunch of guys dressing up as women for like kind of breast cancer sort of thing. It was Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we decided to go, let's do something extra special. And yeah, and it was a full hog. It was literally the full thing. There was makeup involved. There was wigs. And I pinched my older sister's bridesmaid's dress for a wedding that she was in the year before. So I had, everyone else had these sort of dresses they got from like the thrift store. Nope, I went full blown into this ball gown, gave myself a backstory, gave myself a dodgy kind of Eastern European name and an accent, and yeah, I actually won it. I did a striptease as my special guest, my special talent, dressed up in a leopard skin bikini. And I'm not going to lie to you guys, there is a DVD out there, and I've yet...
Oh my God. There is.
I posted it up on my Facebook couple, I think it was just when I did it, and then all of a sudden I'm getting undated with these messages. I still got the DVD, and I'm going, oh please, I thought they all got destroyed. Nobody needs to see that.
Well, I'm sure you made a very beautiful woman. I just want to add that.
Oh, thanks.
Two questions. One, did you keep the beard as
no,
part of
the pageant? No, okay. No. The beard was gone by that. It was younger. It was back in my 20s. I know I look quite young now, but I am in my late 30s, but back then was my 20s, and I couldn't grow a beard back then, so
I was picturing I'm a big Blackadder fan, I was picturing Baldrick in the bridesmaid's gown.
I'm not gonna lie to you, it wasn't far off that.
Nice. Hi, bridesmaid, like the beard. And then the real question is, how did you kind of come to wanting to do interviews? Like, what's your background that led you to being involved in podcast?
With podcasts, and a lot of people ask me, why did you get into podcasts? And I've been podcasting before when I run my own business, and I was using podcasts back then to be like an authoritative in the business side of sense. And that's when podcasts wasn't really like kind of the mainstream side of things. And I just went, I don't like this. I don't like doing it this way. But I've always enjoyed doing it. I always enjoyed broadcasting myself out there and talking to people and all that sort of stuff. So that was one of the main reasons. I was like, well, during the pandemic last year, I still had the show, but I didn't really double down on it. But last year, I had a lot of time on my hands, as we probably all had at that point in time. And I just went, well, let's just do it. Let's get myself out there. Don't be shy. Talk to people and hopefully get people's minds away from things and have fun doing it.
Out of curiosity, what's the business you run?
I'm in recruitment.
Oh.
I know. I always get that reaction. Like, oh, okay. You're one of them. Oh,
I don't. I have no strong feelings about recruitment one way or the other.
Pete?
Hey, Ryan. Thank you so much for joining us. I wanted to ask, because you do interview people that are here in the United States about their careers, do you ever kind of see like a difference in the way that that Americans kind of treat their career versus people, Europeans? Because I mean, like, you know, as far as like the way that I always remember hearing people say about it, the Americans work to live. I mean, to live to work, and then Europeans work to live. And I just want to know if that's kind of a true statement or not.
I would probably say so, yeah. With the experience I've had with talking to people from the States is they're very more open to chat. They're very kind of, I wouldn't say closed down or anything like that. They're very open to go into details about certain aspects of what they've been doing and how they've been doing it. The UK people or anyone from Europe sort of thing is a little bit, they don't give you too much detail. You have to really kind of chip away at them before they start to reveal some stuff. But they're very approachable. The people from the US, you can get a lot of entertainment stuff from them. They're very easy to talk to. That's the way I like to put it, sort of thing. That's probably the reason why I keep getting guests from the US as well, because it's nice and easy for me.
Actually, I wanted to mention something else. I thought this would be funny. When we were doing the research for you today, I don't know if you know this, but there's a podcast here in the United States called Walk the Line, and there's somebody on the podcast named Brandon Walker. And so,
what's his details? I'm going to stir the bastard. Cease and desist is coming.
There can be only one.
Exactly. I'll fight him. I will fight him.
And I was just thinking to myself, because I was going to say to Veronica earlier, I don't know. This guy talks about sports betting, from what I can tell.
Well, if that's the case, I might befriend him. I might befriend him. You know, he might keep.
You might be related. I don't know.
Oh, that's it. So if you're watching this, Brandon Walker, reach out. Let's have a reunion. Let's get involved. Teach me how to get rich. You could imagine that. It could be like Walkerception. Oh my God, it'd be amazing.
You Walkers are just taking all the Walk the Line podcast names.
That's it. We're taking it all. You can't get anything without that. Exactly.
Danny, did you have a question?
First of all, thanks again for coming. And just to add to what Joe's compliment to you, I work at a hospital. Two of our faculty members, top-notch doctors. One's Irish, one's Scottish. And I swear I'm in the room with them right now talking to you. You know, and they're intelligent people by far. So every time I hear that accent, I think of them. So you're in very good company.
Appreciate that. Are you getting flashbacks of work now? You're like, oh my God, I thought I was away from work for the change. I don't want to get reminded of work.
I love my job, so it's all good. And I guess my question to you would be, we talked about this earlier in the show. What are people in the UK, Scotland, Ireland, what are they really thinking about Meghan Markle and Prince Harry and that whole, you know?
Oh, that's a touchy subject in a minute, run here. They are giving us some proper stick at the minute. They are not, the thing is with Harry over here, he was literally like the kind of golden person. He was the man of the people. And they think that old Meghan Markle's come over here and warped his mind and done this sort of stuff and chucked him on Oprah. It's just, he's not very liked over here, to be quite honest with you. I'm being a bit harsh. It's a little bit split down the middle. The younger generation are understandable, but the older generation are like, no, she's done this. She shouldn't be getting her claws into her prince and all that sort of stuff. So it's depending who you really speak to be quite honest with you. But it's a bit of a shame why it is like that. You know, it's the monarchy is starting to get a little bit of an outdated system at the minute. There's a lot of talk around here about what's happening and all that sort of stuff with it, and people are making rumbles. Is it going to keep going the way it's going? Do we need to change it up? Because it does need to change, especially that interview, I think, opened a lot of people's eyes to what actually goes on behind closed doors, which is quite concerning, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Joe?
I think it'd be really funny if there was also a Walk the Line podcast in South Africa about potato crisp, just, you know, to add them along. So, listen, if you're recruiting anyone for a comedy show in London, give us a call first. But I've got the answer for your guest booking problem.
What's that?
This is going to be the easiest thing in the world. So right, go on.
Do I need to get a pen and paper?
Yeah, I don't even know if you have to do that, but you might want to. So find out who your guest is rep by, what agency, whether it's CAA or something. Find out to get their number off the internet. Call them. And tell them that you're Craig Ferguson and you want to book them. They will buy it. I am dead serious. They will totally buy it. And by the time they figured out the problem, you've probably already got them booked and on the show.
Yeah. When's the limo coming to pick me up? Yeah, there ain't no limo on this show, mate.
No. It's a podcast.
Yeah, it's a podcast. Have you got a camera? Yeah. I don't know. You're like 1,000 times uglier than this guy. Excuse me. You sound similar. That's all we care about.
No, you just tell him it's your pandemic haircut.
Yeah, no, it's been a hard year.
It's been a hard year for Craig Ferguson.
It's been a hard year. I've had a hard paper round. COVID has affected me so bad.
You should have seen me last March.
Yeah, no, yeah, I've let myself go. I don't need reminded of it, thank you.
So, Ryan, how often do you release your episodes?
Weekly, once a week. Run about, probably say about Thursday or Friday, I try and get out there and get it out there as weekly as I can. So, yeah, not been too bad. A lot of everyone keeps saying to me, because I always say, why do it weekly? Do you do it all the time? I don't like to edit my shows. I don't like doing it. I've got two reasons why. I've got a reason why, but there's two different versions. When I'm talking to someone professional who I'm talking to, they say, why don't you edit your podcast? And I just let it go naturally. And I always say to them, first initial answer is, I just don't like disrupting the flow of the conversation, because if I edit it too much, the conversation just becomes unnatural. That's what I like to say, but the real reason is I can't be bothered editing. I hate editing. I think it's the most boring job in the world, and I do not want to do it. And that's the reason why.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. And we'll have your information on our social media as well. Come back anytime.
Yeah. I love to. Yeah. Guys, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you. Yeah. Night. Bye. So during our This Week in Gossip segment, we discussed the rumor that Rami Malek is in talks to play Prince in a biopic. So we thought we could close tonight by taking a few of the biggest pop stars of the last 20 years and ask the panel who they think should play them in a movie. So let's start with the first person we talked about today, Prince. Who would you cast as Prince in a movie? Any thoughts?
I can't think of a person. Sorry, go ahead, Jill.
No, go ahead.
Dave Chappelle. I think he's already done a really great job. He's proven himself.
Pete, what about you?
Now, I don't know if this would be ethnically ambiguous, but Bruno Mars, I think, would be
yes.
Really good.
Mm. Yeah. I was thinking
Bruno Mars would be great.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. He came to me like, Bruno.
But is he an actor, though?
He's doing his videos.
He did all right on SNL.
And the performance he did, the Prince tribute, I think it was on the Grammys. It was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was really good.
He did great. So, yeah, I definitely would go with Bruno Mars.
Because he can do the dance moves. He can do the music thing. I think the acting thing, you can, I mean, no offense, but you could teach him.
He's
already halfway there. Yeah.
Anybody can act. You just can't teach him the right. Right,
right.
You don't have any of the actors on today, so we can talk shit about
it. Fuck you, actors. Love you guys. Just kidding.
Right. Or you can't teach them why the joke is funny because they keep messing it up.
Yeah. No conscience.
Learn the damn lines.
Oh, Elizabeth, go ahead.
I think I'd actually love an unknown person. I think it'd be kind of neat to find
like a breakout.
No, because they're unknown. I don't know them.
that's such a hard, like, because I watched that Biggie Smalls biopic, and that guy, I think at the time, was unknown, and I think he's still unknown, because wasn't good.
I'm just saying, we didn't really know who Chadwick Boseman was when he played James Brown, and I'm blanking on the baseball all of a sudden, fuck.
Jackie Robinson.
Thank you, Jackie Robinson.
42.
42. I was going to yell the number. I was like, that's not a person. But he was kind of, he wasn't super unknown, but we didn't quite know who he was. And now we have all the wonderful performances that we do have. Just saying.
Okay. Who would you guys cast as Michael Jackson?
Chris
Matt. Joseph Fiennes.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Oh, yeah, that was bad.
I said Joseph Fiennes.
I'm sorry. What just happened?
I said Chris Mack, but
Danny said a real answer. I said a joke answer.
Yeah, no, Joseph Fiennes actually played Michael Jackson, and it was a nightmare.
Really?
Yeah, with a lot of...
Go look it up on YouTube, but I warn you.
Wait, stop. Joseph Fiennes.
Yes.
Michael Jackson.
Yes. Yes.
Allow me, I'll be brief. There's a story, allegedly, that after 9/11 happened, for some reason, Marlon Brando, I think, right?
Yeah,
Elizabeth Taylor and Michael Jackson were all trying to get out of New York at the same time and took a road trip together.
In a rental car
across like the U.S. Fucking what? No, but they made a movie of it and they cast Joseph Fiennes as Michael Jackson with pancake white pale makeup and like some prosthetics and stuff. It's there was I think they released the trailer.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yes.
I'm just looking at a still, and I'm like,
Stalker Channing's Elizabeth Taylor, by the way. I believe.
The still might be the only thing you could look at without starting to
without the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, you'll get a migraine if you actually start. If you watch two or three frames together, you get a migraine.
So I still cannot believe that they actually cast him. I have to look at. If somebody has a picture, send it to me because I'm trying to do both. So, Commander Waterford.
It sounds like the kind of mistake that a foreign producer makes going, it'll be fine. It will be more than fine.
Oh, my God. Okay. Any other thoughts on Michael Jackson besides Joseph Fiennes? Because he's already
Say Bruno Mars again?
Yeah, coming off of his Oscar-winning performance as Prince.
Poor Joseph Fiennes. I started to Google the image, and that was the second result. Joseph Fiennes.
I sent it to you, Veronica.
Everyone who's listening to the podcast, don't Google it until the end of the show, because we want you around.
Yeah.
And what? Maybe one of his nephews are from, I don't know.
There's a haunted house at Universal Halloween Horror Nights that could just be pictures of Joseph Fiennes as Michael Jackson inside.
Yeah. I might have nightmares tonight.
Yeah. I just texted it to you too. Enjoy.
Oh my God. This is for people that are watching.
Oh, no.
That's it, right?
My eyes!
Okay, let's move on to Madonna.
Next.
Who would you accept as Madonna?
Oh,
depends on which version of her.
No, somebody said the girl on Ozark. The daughter is it the daughter?
The daughter. Not
the daughter. The one who's like the redneck daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't watch the show, but I've seen.
She's not their daughter, but she's.
She's a younger blonde woman. She looks a lot like Madonna already, and everyone said she's fantastic on the show. And she was at the Met Gala, and she looked
good.
Baby Madonna.
Are we doing younger Madonna or older Madonna?
Julia Gardner?
Yes. Yeah, Julia Gardner. Because
I kind of like Emma Stone for it too.
From Madonna. Mm.
Yeah, maybe older. Yeah.
I was thinking Diana Akron from Glee. She played the head cheerleader.
No, I know who you're talking about.
She is.
I don't know. Not sold. You're gonna have to work on that one with me.
I like the Julia Gardner. I think because she's very strong. She's a great actress.
Can I say Bruno Mars?
Bruno Mars in the roles of a lifetime.
He's just so darn good.
He's just so talented.
Lindsay Lohan.
No. Maybe Madonna now, Lindsay Lohan could play it.
Okay, so who would you guys cast as my senior citizen boyfriend, Bruce Springsteen?
Oh,
I can't think of anybody.
Again, whenever people say biopic, I automatically go to their younger years. I don't ever.
Yeah.
See. Yeah. And isn't then
that weird? I don't know why I thought John Krasinski.
Or Bruce.
I don't know. No, I don't think this. Sorry, Danny. I love how Danny's Danny's working with us. He's throwing ideas out. We're like, no, Danny. let me think.
Adam Levine.
I'm
not going to say Bruno Mars this time.
See, the bad choice that the studio will go with will be Timothy Chalamet, but.
Oh my gosh, Todd Van Meter, our friend, just commented himself, but give him that Irishman treatment.
Yeah, sure. Oh my God, Timothy Shelby is fucking Bruce Springsteen.
You're going, that's a horrible pick, but I could see a studio doing that. This is the first thing that goes in your head. It's Warner Brothers would do that.
Warner Brothers presents Timothy Chalamet as Bruce Springsteen.
The boss.
He would tip over with that damn guitar in his hands. Come on.
Okay, let's move on now to Britney Spears. Who would you cast as Britney? Oh, wait, so we never really got to anybody for Bruce, right?
I don't have any.
Yeah, that's okay, because you know what? It would be really hard to get somebody.
Yeah. He's going to be that unknown guy.
Yes.
Really, he's going to be that unknown guy.
I just can't picture.
There's going to be like casting agents hanging outside of Seaside Heights Boardwalk, just waiting for a guy to walk by.
Because I just can't picture anyone in Hollywood right now who has his like look. You know, like a younger actor who's.
I can't think of anybody.
Yeah.
But it's unknown.
There's somebody. We just aren't thinking of them.
We're just not thinking hard enough.
Okay, what about Britney Spears?
Heather Morris.
What's his name?
Where are we back to
Britney? Isaac.
Oscar
Isaac?
Oscar Isaac. Maybe him.
Britney Spears? No.
No, that's not his name. Yeah, okay. No, yeah.
He's an older Bruce.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. I mean, Oscar Isaac's only like late 30s, early 40s, right?
Yeah.
But they could, you know, age him a little.
Irishman him up.
Irishman treatment, like Dom said. Okay, so let's go now to Britney Spears. Thoughts?
I'm sticking with Glee, Heather Morris. She did good.
She did do good.
Who the fuck would go see a movie starring Heather Morris?
Well, it's kind of like
the problem is, she doesn't look like Britney at all. She doesn't really.
So you want someone to look like Britney? Okay,
I'm going with JoJo Siwa.
Oh, I kind of like that.
No, I don't.
Oh, fuck you! I like it.
No, I don't want her to ever get any movie role.
I don't hate it. You just fucked up and you put that in the universe. If she gets mad at that,
I'm going to be so upset.
The girl who sings that driver's license song.
Oh, Olivia Rodrigo. That's her name.
Okay, yeah, her.
Everyone went dead silent. And I was like, "Well, I'm the only one who
that is."
What about that Andrea Rice? I had to look her up her name, but she's in Mayor of Easttown, and she was also in the two Spider-Man movies.
Who does she play on Mayor?
She plays the daughter.
Oh, okay.
The lesbian?
Juan? Yeah, okay. But she was also in both the Spider-Man movies. Now think of the way she looked there. She could pull it off.
She'd have to tighten it up a bit. She's a little frumpy, so I don't know if she.
No, she could pull it off because Britney was not super skinny. Britney was always had a little curve.
But is she the blonde, like the newsroom, the like?
Yeah, she was the one. Girlfriend in the second one. Yeah, she'd be great for it.
I love it. She'd be good. I like that.
Okay, how about Will Smith?
Who would play Will Smith? Is easy. It's the guy who played the young Will Smith in Gemini Man. He's got the look. He's got everything.
He looks just like him.
That's the guy. But he looks like a young version of him. Just a little off. I mean, it's great.
Well, you know, if he and Jada have anything to do with it, it'd have to be Jaden.
Why don't they ever pick his hot older son? Why don't they ever
pick... nothing to do with them.
They never trot out the good look, the when he's in his 20s now or whatever, that kid is really handsome.
It's so funny because he had that kid in that Just the Two of Us video, and then like literally right after that, it was no longer Just the Two of Them. It was just the three of them with Jada. Then it was just the four and five of them, and then eventually he was just like, "Hey, remember that song I did with you years ago? You prick."
Rami Malek.
Bruno Mars.
Yeah, he's the wrong color.
God damn you!
Fine, I'm going back with Chris Mack.
Okay, the next one. This is just for you, Danny. Who would play your girl Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift.
There's so in the role of a lifetime. Taylor Swift is Taylor Swift in
that period.
Oh, Danny, who would play if you had it?
Seriously, if you
gun in your head. Gun to your head, somebody has to play her in a movie.
Carrie Underwood.
It doesn't make any damn sense,
she's
Danny.
Like 40.
I would still cast Taylor.
You can't cast her. She's not getting the part.
Okay, how about this?
It's the unauthorized Lifetime movie, so she's not involved.
It would truly be an unknown to give her her break, and I think Taylor would gladly, you know, help with that too.
So you're saying an unknown person?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That's fair. If you can't think of anybody, then we could just go with unknown, like what we did with Bruce.
Yeah.
So, okay. And last but not least, Michael Bolton. What about Kenny G? You can play him the same age.
That's not how this works.
Like, why would they make a movie about Michael Bolton?
I know. I like, love Michael Bolton.
Like, what world do we live in? I mean, like, Salt and Pepper was kind of like on the edge of why, but Michael Bolton would just, it goes over the edge, the car goes down the hill, it explodes. Why?
You'd have a better shot of making a movie about BTS than Michael Bolton.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Watching a movie about Michael Bolton than about BTS.
I feel like it would be a joke movie and it would be like Andy Samberg or something.
In a way.
I can't understand why I'm getting all this ass.
Sean Penn.
He'd kill it.
He'd probably win an Oscar for it too.
Yeah. Jesus, Peter.
Just tell him not to go full recall.
It's a reference from Tropic Thunder.
I know it's a Tropic Thunder reference. It's still
as long as you're referencing Tropic Thunder, you can't get in trouble. Look at Robert Downey Jr.
Todd is saying online, Fassbender.
Oh, Michael Fassbender.
He'd be so intense.
Yeah. Well, no one make fun of me. I just love TikTok so damn much. But people keep posting the commercial that we've all heard at like 3 a.m. when we were kids in the night. You know, if you fell asleep on the couch in the 90s, where it's like Celine Dion singing "Cause I'm Your Lady and You Are My Man," yeah. But like at the top of her lungs, it's like the world's greatest love songs. Tell me, how am I supposed to live with it? You know, all in one collection, and it's like that's the commercial that knocks you awake at 3 a.m.
I have that CD.
I'm Michael Bolton. I'm a huge fan. And actually, the last concert we went to before the pandemic was Michael Bolton.
Gotta get back in.
I kind of believe that Michael Bolton had something to do with the pandemic.
He was like, really?
Because most of the people that went to his concert were older people that are probably all now gone. So I kind of think like he had the pandemic. Like COVID and Michael Bolton both attract elderly people. So
he finished the concert, called the lab and said, release it.
What in a really, really awesome piece of irony, we hired the actor that played Michael Bolton in Office Space.
He's the one who sucks. Why should I have to change my name?
you actually forgot one, Veronica.
Who
would play the panelists on the TMI Hollywood?
Oh my gosh, who would play us?
Oh my god.
Bruno Mars.
The whole panel.
One of us.
Rami Malek.
There you go. Rami Malek or Bruno Mars. So that is our show for tonight. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you back here again tomorrow at 6 p.m. Bye, everyone. Have a good night and stay safe. Bye.